Public News Service Daily Newscast for August the 3rd, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. If Congress does not extend enhanced unemployment benefits, the $600 a week meant to help Americans who lost jobs due to the pandemic's economic fallout, more than 5 million jobs would be lost. We get some perspective from Eric Galatis in Nebraska, where 1,500 jobs could be lost.
Heidi Shearholtz with the Economic Policy Institute says the benefit has helped millions pay for food, rent, and other essentials. She says cutting off assistance will also make racial inequality worse.
Because Black and brown communities are suffering more from this pandemic, both physically and economically, as a result of historic and continuing systemic racism.
Workers of color who file for unemployment are much more likely to have their claims rejected, according to analysis by the Bipartisan Policy Center. White workers have received 78% of all unemployment dollars compared with 20% for Black and Latino workers. Critics of extending benefits believe it's a disincentive to work and note some workers get more in unemployment than they did on the job.
Meantime, CNN reporting swift bipartisan agreement on a new coronavirus stimulus package seems unlikely as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin dug in on their opposing positions on Sunday. Democratic leaders in the White House held a round of productive meetings on Saturday, but reported that they remain far apart on an agreement. Pelosi and Mnuchin, along with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, said they expect to meet today to resume discussions. CNN quotes Steven Mnuchin as saying, "We obviously need bipartisan support to get any deal done. The last two deals we got done, 96-0 and 100-0. I think it's pretty fair to say that we're not going to do that again." The coronavirus pandemic has shown no let-up, but service providers who work with Santa Fe's homeless population are reporting effective outcomes, even as they worry about future funding and the approach of winter. Here's Ross Brown.
Hank Hughes with the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness says Santa Fe shelters have coordinated to implement strict safety measures and social distancing rules. He says the city also approved funds to secure motel rooms for some people who are chronically homeless.
The ones who are in the motels, their life is improved greatly, not just because they're safe from the pandemic, but also they have a place to keep clean and start working on other parts of their life.
Santa Fe has followed recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention not to move homeless encampments during the pandemic. But nearby cities such as Albuquerque and Denver continue to conduct sweeps of homeless camps to discourage them, often with limited or no notice.
Chronic homelessness estimated to cost New Mexico taxpayers about $35,000 per person per year. This is PNS. With COVID-19 unlikely to disappear anytime soon, Michigan's leading advocate for older adults is taking advantage of technology to keep folks informed and connected.
AARP Michigan hosts dozens of educational and social events throughout the state every year. And in order to ensure its members are not exposed to the coronavirus, Karina Eggleston of AARP Michigan says all its events will be held virtually for the remainder of the year. While it's not the same as face-to-face contact, she says online platforms are expanding opportunities and opening up new worlds for some people.
Well, of course, we're hearing they sort of miss being in person, and the social opportunities that being in person afford us. We're able to offer more in a virtual environment and make that available to more individuals.
She notes that AARP Michigan has dedicated Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages where programming is offered, as well as at aarp.org/mi. Mary Sherman reporting.
And the New Jersey law allowing terminally ill patients to request medical aid in dying is now 1 year old and has been adopted by dozens of medical facilities across the state. Andrea Sears reports for Soundbite Source.
The Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act went into effect on August 1st last year. It gives terminally ill patients the ability to request medication to peacefully end intolerable suffering. Matt Whitaker with the organization Compassion and Choices points out that for the terminally ill, requesting prescription medication to end their suffering isn't just about finding an alternative to lingering pain.
You're able to be present, to love fully, and to recognize that that's not an anxiety that you have to carry around.
To locate a healthcare facility that allows its physicians to offer terminally ill patients the option to peacefully end their suffering, help is available online at CompassionandChoices.org/findcare.
To locate a healthcare facility, finally, our Diane Bernard reports a unique restoration partnership in Virginia enters a new phase as tons of crushed concrete are being deposited into the Lynn Haven River. The idea is to rebuild oyster habitat lost to over-harvesting.
Virginia Beach is partnering with the Lynn Haven River Now project by providing the concrete from sidewalks and streets that have been torn up. Brent James with Lynn Haven River Now says concrete is chemically similar to oyster shells. Both contain calcium carbonate, which attracts baby oysters. And 35,000 tons of concrete will go into 12 acres in the river's western branch. James says it has the potential to grow millions of oysters that filter water.
The full-grown oyster will filter anywhere from 20 to 50 gallons a day.
Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. I'm Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. We are a member and we are listener supported. You'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.